Well, hello there. This is Kimberly Oliver from Living from the Heart. I'm so excited to be with you today. I pray you had a great week, a great weekend, and I pray that everything is going good in your life. Well, I'm so glad to bring to you, I've been studying a lot. Well, first of all, I just finished my book, Naked and Unashamed, and we did the promo video on Sunday, and I am so excited. You know, this was one of the dreams that I had to finish this book, and I actually started this book over 20 years ago. It's called Naked and Unashamed, and it deals with shame and guilt and things that we're going to talk about today that kept me from doing the book. You know, that's been on my heart for a long time to write my story down, that it possibly could help other men and women who faced abuse and have faced abandonment and all those things that we go through, because we go through those things in life, and there's so many people that do. So I've been on this quest to understand shame. And, you know, if he knew us before our mother was, before we were in our mother's womb, before we even formed, if he knew us and he knew it was going to happen, how come we have to go through all the stuff? I mean, there's a lot of stuff we go through, right? I mean, if God formed us in it, let me read it to you. I'm going to read it out of the, I believe it's in the King James Version. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you and appointed you as a prophet. I anointed you as a prophet of the nations," out of Exodus. Then the Lord said, "Behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Say not that I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So don't be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched his mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" That's in Jeremiah 1, 5 through 8. And you know, there's so many times that I wanted to do great things, and I wanted to do great, great things for God. I was so excited. I was so zealous. And you know, and back then when I got saved, I was 25 and I'm 57 now. So when I got saved, I was so zealous to do all these things for the Lord, but I didn't know how I was going to do them. But God said, before I was formed, he knew me and he appointed me. He gave me those gifts, right? So if God appointed me, and Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you." And Jeremiah 1 says that he's already appointed me. So he had a plan for my life and your life. So if he has a plan for our life, why do we go through the things that we go through? Why do we pick up this stuff on the way of life? Well, it's very easy to know. You know, we go through things in life. We go through divorces. We go through different things in life. I mean, we go through heartache. We go through a broken relationship. We go through things with our children. And it's just not easy. And all those emotions, we pick up all those things along our path of doing life, right? Because there's other people involved and we get our heart out there. Well, this is called Living from the Heart. So I share with you stuff that affects the heart. And one of the biggest things that affects the heart to keep you paralyzed is shame. And I'll tell you, there's a great book I've read. It's Brené Brown. And she's got a book called Dare to Lead. It's Brave Work, Tough Conversations, and Whole Hearts. I absolutely love Brené Brown's work. She has done so much research. She is a researcher. She's not a minister, but she loves God. She confesses to be a Christian, but her studies on shame are so amazing. I've never really understood like I do now. I'm going to read you something from her book, Daring Greatly. It is just so good about shame and the way that braving the wilderness. But you know, we all have a sense of belonging. We want to belong to something. You know, if you can remember back in your school, and you know, you divided in teams, or you put the boys on one side and the girls on one side, and everybody had to pick a team member. And you know, you always, when someone picked you, you felt that sense of belonging, like I'm on a team. And that is so in our nature. We want to belong somewhere. You know, because lonely people typically are in isolation and they have no relationships. They don't have a sense of belonging. If you're extremely lonely right now, I want you to think about what do you feel connected to? Because if you feel connected, if you feel like you're a part of something, that loneliness will go away. So what keeps us from being connected to people? Well, most of the time, there's going to be a root to it. And the root typically is shame. Because if you're ashamed of yourself, if you're ashamed of your appearance, your house, yourself, if you're ashamed of the way you look or any of those things can trigger you to keep you in isolation. So I want you to think about if you deal with loneliness, ask yourself right now, who am I connected to? Because you have a sense of desiring belonging somewhere. That's the way God made you. So let me ask you, what about your relationships? What do you belong to? Do you belong to any groups like, Bible study groups or home groups? Or even in your job, do you have a core central place where you can have relationships with others? And if your answer is no, I want to ask you why. Is it because you're afraid of being accepted? That could be a big one. Because if you're afraid to be unaccepted, there must be some root of shame. If they accept me, they're not going to like me because of you fill in the blank. Only you know that. Because you know yourself. You have to know yourself well to understand why you have a hard time making relationships. Because my friend, I'm going to tell you, our world is so, we have to have relationships. We have to have a place to call home. I always say, find your tribe and love them hard. And I know that with me, I've got several tribes. I've got a Keller Williams tribe. I'm a realtor with Keller Williams Realty. And I have a culture in my Keller Williams family that we are there for each other. We're friends. I'm on the ALC. I'm on the Leadership Council. And that's like a board of directors for our office, basically. And I am a part of that. And it makes me feel very honored and very proud to be a part of that. Let's talk about true belonging. I'm going to take this out of Brené Brown's book. It's called Rumbling with Vulnerability. Because so many times we cannot be vulnerable with others. And this is taken from her book, Braving the Wilderness. And she shares the definition of true belonging. This is what she says. True belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in both being a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. To be who you are. So what that says to me is true belonging is being okay with me. Just like me writing my book. I think I've told you, I've got several things in my past that I'm not proud of. Several things that I did in my past that you would look at that girl before 25 and you'd go, there is no way God would use her. There is no way. Look at all the stuff she did. But God did. He used me. He uses me every day. I know that he loves me, and I know that he forgave me. So if I know that, I can use my authentic self to share my life with other people. I mean, there's no way I could write about my life and put it all out there. I put my sin out there. I put my darkness out there. I put my darkest days out there. But I also tell you about when I got saved and when I accepted Jesus in the timeline of, working out my salvation. When I got saved, I wasn't perfect. I mean, I still dressed with short skirts and big makeup, and I still smoked cigarettes, and I was still doing all these things that wouldn't make me look like a Christian, but I was learning to love God. I wanted to know God so deeply, and I was learning how to do that because, I hated religion. You know, the people that came and just acted all religious, like they had it all together and they were perfect, because I thought it was unattainable. I didn't think you could possibly attain to be perfect. And we can't. We certainly cannot. We are going to blow it. We need God's grace and mercy every single day. But think about that. It requires you to be who you are. So let me ask you, do you know who you are? I mean, have you really thought about, this is Kimberly, this is who I am, this is what I do, and these are things I can work on? I mean, do you have that conversation or that dialogue with yourself to really know you? Because I think it's important. We need to know if we can show up. Because if you can't show up for other people, you're cheating them out of a relationship with you, but you're also cheating yourself out of having a relationship. So it's so important. And if you don't know how to do that, you know, the cool thing is you can ask God, God, will you help me get to know myself? And spend some quiet time, maybe go away. If you could go away to, you know, someplace for a weekend by yourself, just to hang out with God and ask God, God, show me my heart. Show me who I am and help me know myself. So I know my shortcomings. I know my strengths. I know there's a good book that's out there. It's called Strength Finders. There's so many good resources that you can have tools to help know yourself. There's so many personality things. That's really the quest I went on when I was trying to get to know me, because I'm a driver. I'm one that likes to get things done. I'm a driver. I can go 100 miles an hour and just get some stuff done. But I also know that I can go too fast and miss a lot of details along the way. But I learned that by doing the I don't remember the name of it. But another one is called, what is the other one that we do all the time? I just went blank on the personality test. There's a million of them out there. But I began to do those. We've got a thing at Keller Williams called KPA. And then there's the DISC, D-I-S-C. You can take those tests and you can get them free online. There's a lot of different ones. But if you took some of those and really answer those, how you are at home, like how you are just you, the naked you, answer them like that. Not how you are at work, because, you know, we have a different person that shows up at work. I'm at work, I'm there to do business, I'm there to be professional, and I'm also there, I'm not there for chit chat and to drink coffee and just chit chat and talk. I'm not there to do that. When I go to the office, I'm there to work. And so I know that about me. And so if somebody comes and talks to me and I'm in the middle of something, I have to be very careful not to look stuck up, but be able to say to them, you know what, this is my lead gen time. I'm calling clients. Can I get back with you after 2 when I'm done? To have the honest conversation, to have the boundary to protect my time, so I'm not giving my time that I work to make money away, but I can protect my time, but I also can protect my relationships by telling that person, I'll be happy to talk to you at this time, and then mark it on my calendar, and don't forget to go talk to that person at that time. That's going to set a boundary to let them know, look, I'm here to work and I'm gonna get my work done. And then once I'm through making my calls, I'm happy to talk to them and have a conversation. That's a good boundary to have. You have to guard your time, because if you don't guard your time, I mean, if you have time that you're gonna do self-improvement, you're gonna do self-work, you know, say you're gonna do these personality tests just to get to know you, you have to block time for that. So if you can't do it during the day because of work, then you could block in the evenings, you know, if you have children, after your children go to bed, or you can block, you know, whatever time that you have time alone that you can totally do that to invest in yourself, because it's really, really important that you understand why you do the things you do. Let me tell you, when I first took personality profiles, because I'm so driven, I thought that was actually a bad thing. And once I realized that people actually look for that on job interviews, of how you are self-motivated and how you are a problem solver and how you are relational, you like relationships with people, I learned all that stuff about me and I was able to embrace me, because I'm like, wow, that's why I do that. If you understand why you do something, not that we can't always grow. We can always grow in our leadership skills. I mean, that's life. If you're not growing, you're dying. And I highly recommend, I'm an avid reader. I love to read books and learn how to do things better. But if you could do that, That is the true sense of purpose. That is the true sense of knowing you. Because if you can know yourself, if you can know yourself, you can know how you do things better. So it's so important for you to do that. And so I highly recommend, I know once the disc, you can look at personality test and download those on the internet. You can do all those things, and I would highly encourage you to do that. And read good books. Brené Brown has got a lot of great books. I love Brené because she's a researcher, and she's done a lot of life work to understand why she does what she does. And those are good, good things. So let's talk about shame for a minute, because shame is a big culprit. I want to talk about shame just for a minute. I'm going to tell you some points on shame and empathy. And when you dig into shame, if you want to see the ego go decon one, get anywhere close to shame. What makes embracing vulnerability feel like the worst terrifying thing is how taking off an armor and exposing our hearts can open us up to experience shame. Our egos are willing to keep our hearts encased in armor no matter what the cost. If we can avoid feeling less than or unworthy of love and belonging, what ego doesn't understand is that stunting our emotional growth and shutting down our vulnerability doesn't protect us from shame, disconnection, or isolation. It guarantees them. So let's look how shame works and how it can survive a healthy dose of empathy. Shame, which is often referred to as the master of emotion by researchers, it's never good enough emotion. It's always feeling like I'm not good enough, I can't measure up, and that is such a lie we tell ourselves. That is a lie that we tell ourselves all the time in certain things. Shame is getting laid off when you weren't expecting it. Shame is when you are hiding from an addiction. Shame is raging at our kids. Shame was my response to seeing my parents' shame when I came out. These are some examples in her book. Shame is covering up a mistake at work and getting caught. Shame is failing at my business after my friends invested in it. Shame is getting a promotion, then getting demoted 6 months later because I wasn't succeeding. Can you relate to any of these? Shame is my boss calling me a loser in front of my colleagues. Shame is not making partner at the law firm. Shame is my wife asking me for a divorce and telling me that she wants children, but not with me. Shame is consistently being asked to speak on behalf of Latinos in marketing meetings, and I'm from Kansas. I don't speak Spanish. So I could go on and on and on about shame. Do you get the picture? So that is what shame is. Shame is all those things. And so when we feel shame, we hold back. We put an armor around our heart and we don't let anybody in. That is shame. But what if we could embrace those things? Because we know that God has a call in our life and that God totally accepts us. What if we could get rid of shame? Would life be simpler for you? I bet it would be. I would encourage you to study some of Brené Brown's books. Dare to Lead is one of them. She's got several, but she has got the best book on shame. And you know, I dealt with this for so long. My book is called Naked and Unashamed, which will be out very, very soon. Hopefully it'll be at the end of October, November. It'll probably be in print in November. I'm getting my website together, my Facebook pages, all the things I need to do in the midst of working, in the midst of doing everything and raising a grandchild. You know, it's just rolling around. But I'm so thankful that I've got great people around me that have helped me. But I want to ask you this. If I triggered something in you today, I want you to ask the Father to help you identify what holds you back. And if it's shame, you can begin to study things about shame And I promise you, you'll get free. There's no reason for you to be shameful because God loves you. He's for you. He has a plan for your life. Go back and read those scriptures that I read to you earlier because God is so good and He's so sovereign. And He does not look at you and say, Kimberly, look what you did when you were 16. Look at those clubs you worked in. Look at those relationships you were in. Look at the drugs you did. Look at the alcohol you drank. Look at all the things. I could go on and on and on. God does not say that to me. God says, Kimberly, I'm so proud of you. I don't remember your past. I see you now as my daughter, and I love you, Kimberly. That's what God says to me. That's the way I feel. I didn't always feel that way, but I did study on how to learn to be that way because it did not come easy. I first had to learn me, identify what held me back, just like what I'm telling you to do, and had to wake up my dreams again and go for it. I had to do that again. I had to do that again and again. So I pray, I'm sorry if you heard that, my grandson came in, but you just have to look back and say, God, teach me your ways. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to do that today. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you to come in my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to be your child, and I want you to teach me how to live. Well, my friend, if you prayed that today and you believe it, you just got born again. Begin to ask the Lord to teach you what you don't know, and He will. And He will. So I just ask you to do that and to pray that prayer and connect with me on Facebook. Right now it's at Kimberly Ann Oliver, but very soon my Living from the Heart Facebook page will be up and my website, but I would love to hear from you. Keep processing, keep loving God, and keep doing you and being the best version of you. God bless you in all you do. This is Kimberly Oliver from Living from the Heart. And if you know somebody in real estate in Fort Worth that needs real estate or wants to make an investment, I've been a realtor for going on, this is my 17th year, and I'd love to help you with that. I'm with Keller Williams. And you can find me, you can just Google my name, Kimberly Oliver, and you can find me. So God bless you in all you do. I pray that today is a new day for you. Make it a great day. God bless you.
Old man Reagan lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. Been a few long summers out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war, went in the Navy, lost his wife, lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? Said, I'll see my wife. Son, just a little while. I asked him what he meant. Looked at me and smiled. Said, I raised my head, bowed my head, finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me. What I can see, I believe. A few years later, I was off at college, talking to mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs, the small town life. Said, oh, by the way, son, old man Wrigley's died. Later on that night, I laid there thinking back. Thought about a couple of long lost summers. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. There was every that deserved a ticket to the other side. It would be that sweet old man. Look me in the eyes. can't quote the book, the chapter or the verse. You can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Yeah, this can't be, no, this can't be, no, this can't be. I believe, I believe,
I believe,
I believe,
I I've been